Lord, we're so grateful once again to be in your word. I pray that we can truly learn to demonstrate your love to others, that the evil that is around us and sometimes in us can be overcome by your goodness because you truly are good, God. We're grateful for who you are and all that you've done and all that you continue to do in our lives. I pray that we never take you for granted or the blessings that you send our way, God. For all those that are not able to be here today, I just pray, Lord Jesus, you know each one of their situations, their circumstances, their hearts, and I just ask that you give them a peace that surpasses understanding. Help them to know that they are loved and that they're loved by you, that you are with them, that you'll never leave them or forsake them. For each of us that are here, Lord, we are so grateful for Body of Christ fellowship, for time to be together. I pray that even as we have a meal afterwards, that we can enjoy a time of loving one another, and we can demonstrate that love with our words, our thoughts, our voices, our minds. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Romans 12:21, it's, you know, there's not a lot of things you can do with this. It's pretty much overcome evil with good. That's almost the whole verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's interesting that Paul would, after giving you all this good advice on how to live and how to love and ways to care for one another, he still recognizes that there's evil. And he's not calling them evil, but I think each one of us, as we look in our own hearts sometimes, we recognize that there's nothing good coming out of me other than what God has provided for me and given me. And the only way to truly overcome evil is with good. Well, Scripture is very clear about, you know, there's really only one that's good. That's God. We've got two categories of people. There's all of these people that are sinners, and then there's Jesus. And as far as humans are concerned, those are the two categories. And Jesus laid his life down and gave his life on the cross for us so that we can put on his righteousness and be in his category with him. In fact, when the Father looks at us and Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, he can say, you know, there's one of my righteous ones. There's one of the ones that are good because of the grace of Jesus. And so we can see that even within ourselves, that evil can be overcome with good, with God. Going way back to Genesis 50, the story of Joseph's story is remarkable. His brothers got all jealous and upset and worried. Dad was picking him as the favorite. And so they're either wanting to kill him or something, and one of them decides, well, let's not quite kill him. Maybe we can just make some money off of him. And, you know, he's thrown in a pit, and they're, you know, they go back and they tell Dad, yeah, he's dead, and they show him blood on this special coat that his dad had given him, and yet they'd sold him off into slavery. Well, here he is, he's in slavery, and he's doing a good job for the boss. The boss starts giving him more responsibility, and then the wife comes on to him, and he kind of has to flee, and then she lies about him coming on to her, and he gets fired and thrown in jail, and then, okay, so he's doing a really good job in jail, and the jailer says, let me put you in charge of some more stuff, and people start trusting him, and he's interpreting dreams, and all kinds of good things happening, but he just couldn't get past all of this. It was years and years of struggle and trials and pain, and then he gets to the situation where the dream ends up helping him have favor with the Pharaoh, and he becomes a leader in that situation. Brings his whole family to Egypt. They're all saved from the famine, and they're not going to have to die, and good things happening. And then you get to Romans 50. By this time, his dad has died, and all his brothers are worried. Now that dad's gone, there's nobody to protect us from Joseph, and Joseph's going to get his revenge on us because they know their own hearts, and that's what they would have done. And I think most of us would have. It's like, you put me through so much. I'll hold off as long as Dad's around. I don't want to make him upset. But now Dad's gone, yeah, I'm coming after you. And I've got the authority and the power of an entire nation behind me, and I can do whatever I want. Whatever word I say, the king will back me up. He'll trust me. It's not a problem. And so they come to him all worried, and he recognizes their fear and just says to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me. Yeah, he knows. He says, yeah, you guys wanted to hurt me. You weren't nice. But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And even though you guys had terrible, wicked intentions, God used all of that for the goodness that you're seeing right now. God can even use our wicked thoughts, our evil intentions, our negative, terrible attitudes and actions sometimes get used by God for good. And that's crazy remarkable that he can do that. So this second time he tells them, so then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. They never really did trust him, because they still knew their own hearts. But his heart towards them was, you know, yeah, you guys, I know you're a piece of work, brothers, but God used your actions to bring salvation to our family. We still exist because of that terrible act that you chose to do. God didn't let that act go to waste. God made your poor intentions become good. And that's who God is. And I will care for you and your children. I want to take care of the whole family. You go to Romans 8. Paul says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If we want to overcome evil with good, all we've got to do is recognize that you know, God's already working a plan. Let's participate with his plan. Let's cooperate with him, because he wants to turn everything to good. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 10, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you want to overcome bad, if you want to overcome evil, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, just before that it says, oh, you've submitted yourself to God. If we're submitted to God, here's God standing behind us. Devil comes and looks at us and says, not somebody I want to mess with, and they're gone. You know, and he flees. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. The goodness that's going to overcome comes from God every time. Galatians. In Galatians 5, we kind of look at this. It's a lot about how to live by the Spirit, and there's this contrast that's built between the flesh and the Spirit, between evil and good. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If we want to overcome evil, just love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. That was my life verse when I was a senior in high school. It was the one that when you put a verse in the yearbook, that's under my picture. If you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed by one another. There's so many times where we destroy one another through the way we talk, the way we think, the actions we take. And this humbly loving one another, humbly serving each other, loving your neighbor as yourself, can overcome an awful lot of this biting and devouring stuff, this fleshly human desire. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're not the same thing. You want to overcome evil? Let's walk by the Spirit. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. He gives a list here. It's not an inclusive list. There's others. We could probably think of some. But he throws out there, you know, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, that's a way of saying excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, you know, and whatever else you can come up with. There's so many things, so many ways that we can grieve the Spirit. There's so many ways that we can succumb to the evil around us or within us. And then Paul in Galatians says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm glad that he doesn't say any one of you that's had a problem with any one of these things at any time will never inherit the kingdom of God. That's not in his vocabulary. He knows that God forgives. He knows that all of us have struggled with something in that list. If you didn't struggle with something that's listed, you struggled with and the like. But it's like, if we, those who live like this, if that's your lifestyle, if that's your life pattern, if that's the way that you're defined, it's so easy to think, okay, yeah, you know, I'm doomed because I've had a selfish ambition, or I'm doomed because I've had jealousy or rage. And it's like, no, that's not your lifestyle. God has redeemed you. He's called you by name. He's said you're accepted in the Beloved. You're one of mine. You're dearly beloved. And so we don't have to worry about that as long as this doesn't become our lifestyle. If you're walking with Jesus, if you're living with Spirit dwelling in you, you're not going to have a lifestyle like that. That won't be who you are. If you act out any of those ways, there's going to be some conviction. There's going to be reason to think, you know, you're having remorse. You're feeling like, I need to turn back to Jesus. I need to confess my sins because I know he's going to forgive me again and keep turning to him. So that's kind of the one side, is the fleshly side of desires. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit of the Spirit is joy and peace. Forbearance, finding ways to cooperate with one another, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. There's still, even though you're living by the Spirit, there's this temptation to turn the other way. Well, how do we overcome evil? Keep walking by the Spirit. Keep living by the Spirit. Recognizing that God is good, and as long as we're trusting God, he's going to turn everything else to good around us. Going back to just kind of, I'm going to look at some verses in Genesis and then some in Revelation. And really, my thesis is that the entire Bible really could be centered around this verse about don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you look way back at the beginning, God created everything and it was good, you know, and he's creating light, he's creating all kinds of things, you know, plants and animals. He says, God said it was good in verse 4. God said it was good. In verse 10 and in verse 12, God said that it was good. And in verse 18, God said that it was good. And in verse 25, God said it was good. And then by the time he gets to verse 31, he's just finished creation. He's getting ready to rest after 6 days of creation. And he's said, okay, I made man in my own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. When he put the whole creation together, it's like, it's not just good, it's very good. It didn't take very long. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve have already been tempted by Satan. Serpents said, hey, God didn't really mean what he said, or, you know, you want to be more like God, you can do this and you can do that. And, you know, and they listened to him, and they didn't listen to God, and they didn't follow goodness, they followed evil. And since then, there's been all this struggle. And that's really when you start looking at all the rest of the Bible. It's the struggle that we have with sin. It's like when you look at, okay, the books of the law. Why would we need a law if everything's good and we're all just walking with Jesus in the garden? You know, it's we need the law because it shows us where we've fallen short. And then you look at Judges and how you know, that God kept having to bring judges to bring his people back to him. And throughout, you know, the Samuel, the King's Chronicles, all of that, it's like this struggle between good and evil, and it keeps happening. And through all of the prophets, prophets were coming to say, hey, you know, you're not following God. And sometimes they would be convicted in turn and follow God, like in Nineveh. And then other times, like in Nineveh a different time, they wouldn't follow God, and then they get judged. And so there's this whole struggle through the Old Testament, and you get into the New Testament, and God comes to earth, and he's living and dwelling among us, and the religious leaders and the political leaders all decide they don't usually agree on anything, but on this they're all going to be in agreement. We're going to kill God. And they take Jesus and put him on a cross. And that looks like, okay, evil has won. And yet, no, it's like, okay, here's another plan. God says, yeah, I'm using that as a way to redeem mankind, and I'm going to make things right. And by the time you get to Revelation, it's going to be even another thing where we're talking about, you know, this new heaven and new earth, new creation, everything's going to be wonderful. It's going to be back to what it was like, where everything is very good. And so overcoming evil with good, it's like the process of Jesus dwelling among us, Jesus dwelling in us through Holy Spirit, it brings back the good. And then when Christ returns and banishes all evil, it's something exciting and remarkable for eternity. So, you know, Genesis 3:23, the Lord God banished him, he banished Adam from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. Now, he'd already been told he was supposed to work the ground. It wasn't like a new mandate. It's just it was going to be a lot harder, and he wasn't going to be able to do it in the presence of God in the garden that way. He kind of had to toil a little bit more, and the soil wasn't going to be as cooperative. Any of you ever garden and not have to deal with weeds? I mean, thank you, Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve, because it's like all of these weeds, I don't like them. It's easy to give up. There's too much. Even in gardening, how are you going to overcome evil? You plant good stuff, and you make sure that the bad stuff is taken out. But the more good stuff that's growing, the less room there is for the bad stuff. When Larry's working on the lawn here, he's trying to make sure that it's all healthy, good grass, so that the other stuff doesn't come in and try to take over. And same thing in all of our lives and in our relationships. It's like overcoming evil with good. If we're constantly... And that doesn't mean you're never going to have a weed pop up somewhere. They find a way. But we can overcome evil with good. And so this thing where we're Adam's sent to work outside of the garden, and it's like now the earth is kind of fighting back. In the garden, it was all cooperating. Everything was where it was supposed to be, doing what it's supposed to do. You get to Revelation, and there's going to be this new situation where in Revelation 21, there's only 22 chapters in Revelation, so we're getting very close to the end of Scripture. And John, the Apostle John, he's getting this vision from God. He's able to see an awful lot of things. One of the things he saw was the heavens in their perfect form. He says, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There's not even a need for kind of crazy religion stuff. I mean, we sometimes, you know, not sure I like the John Lennon song about Imagine, you know, but imagine there's no religion. Well, in a way, that's what God wants. It's like it's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about the fact that God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus, are the temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light. And the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. It's like, it's all going to be good. Evil will be overcome by good. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. You know, when cities have to close their gates up to try to protect themselves at night, well, there's no night because you've got the glory of God shining continuously. Glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how Jesus is going to come, overcome evil with good. He's just going to recreate what was started as creation, and he's going to do it even better. In Hebrews, when you read about all of the different things that the tabernacle and everything that's here on earth, it's like that's a shadow of the true tabernacle in heaven. And so a lot of people are thinking, okay, there's going to be this big tabernacle. Well, this verse tells us that, no, it's Jesus, the Lamb. Father and the Lamb are the tabernacle. They're the temple. There's no need for all this other stuff. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray that we can let that sink deeply into us, into our hearts and minds, and that you will continue to guard our hearts and minds and help us, guide us as we walk in your way. Amen.